Let's read out of reverence and respect for God's Word. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. You may be seated. Your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Genesis 12, and we're going to be covering a few scriptures this morning as we continue on in this series. In the bulletin it says part 4, and I guess that technically is true. The very first one was an intro to the message, to the series that we had started several weeks back. If you have not had opportunity then to be here for some of them, I invite you to check them out online. You can listen to them through the church website, iontheline.com. It's on the front of the bulletin as well. We have been talking about what is God's plan? What is He doing in the world today? And how are we to understand that? How are we to have our mind tuned in to what He's doing? We live in a confusing world, do we not? It's a very confusing world today. There's a lot of confused people. Sometimes I'm real confused. I know y'all were thinking that, weren't you? There's just so many things going on. And, you know, there's wars going on. There's all kinds of turmoil and unrest. And sometimes, you know, we step back and we say, you know, God, what is going on in this world? Now, I'm not here to try to bring every detail into what God is doing in this world because, frankly, there are many things that are baffling. But we were talking about this in Sunday school class earlier today, this morning. By the way, I invite you to come out. We are studying the Old Testament. We are in the book of Numbers, and we're seeing how God dealt with Israel and how He wanted to bring a people into a promised land and what happened that they didn't get into it at that point. I'll let you come out and find out why. But we were talking about in the class, and we were just talking about current events, and who would have thought that Russia would be involved in Syria? Who would have thought that Russia would come down from the north and be involved in the Middle East? Do you know that that's prophesied in Scripture? Who would have thought that China, the sleeping giant, would be amassing millions of troops? Who would have thought that they were becoming aggressive in the world and, you know, the little atoll island that they constructed as they dredged? And I don't know if you know that recently, through satellite photos, it was found they have a spy drone that's stationed on that little island. Who would have thought these kinds of things were happening in the world today? And again, it's very baffling. Who would have thought that this fanatical Muslim group, ISIS, would rise? And that the world at first ignored them, and now, of course, it is a major, major focus of most of the world's powers to defeat this group. What are we to make of all these things? What are we to make of what is happening in the world? Well, we may not be able to understand every detail and every facet of what's happening in the world, but there is something that we need to understand, and that is, what is God doing is that He began a plan thousands of years ago. He began a plan, and He's continuing that plan even till today. We have to have an understanding, a biblical worldview of what God is doing. And listen, if you don't have a worldview, someone will give it to you. Professors or so-called scholars or talk show hosts or, you know, entertainers and artists. I'm really crack up a lot when I see different, you know, musical artists or actors, and oh boy, they have all kinds of opinions. And I'm thinking to myself, where's your expertise to have such an opinion and then to spout it off to the whole world and tell everybody else they're wrong? It just amazes me. Just amazes me. We have to have a worldview that reflects what God has been doing, what He says in His Word, because you see, what He says in His Word, He will fulfill. One of the things He said to His people, we studied this in the Old Testament class on Sunday morning, Sunday school, is that God said, I am not a man that I will lie. I am not like the Son of Man. What I say, I will do. I will bring it to pass. And God has said many things. Well, what is God saying about what's happening in the world? What is God's plan? What is He doing? Well, the main point of this message and a number of messages, and we're going to continue to press on through it, is this, that God desires to save every person on the earth. He desires, I'm not saying that He will, that every person will be saved. He desires to save every person on the earth through the seed of Abraham from sin and death into an everlasting kingdom through the blood of His Son, the Messiah Jesus, who is the rightful King of the whole earth. This is God's plan from the beginning. This is God's plan now, and this will be God's plan as He brings it into fulfillment and culmination in this world. We began to look at who is God? What has He done in this world? We saw that He is the Creator of all things. He is the one true God, the Creator of all things. He created this world and everything in it. We saw that the height of His creation was man. The pinnacle of His creation was man. And man and man alone was made in the image of God. Created in the image of God. And God said, this is good. In fact, He looks at man and He says, this is very good. It's interesting. The one thing he said as He looked at the man, and when I say man, I'm talking generically. It says at the end of Genesis chapter 1, it says, so God created man in His image, male and female He created them, and they best reflect the image of God as male and female are joined together in marriage. But before He made the woman, He looked at the man and He said, this is not good that the man is alone. Aren't you glad for that, husbands? This is not good for this man. The Lord knew something already. He looked at some of y'all and He said, this is not good for you to be alone. So He created the woman. And He looked at creation around Him and He said, this is good. Indeed, this is very good. But something happened. And so we looked at the fall. We have to understand that there is a biblical understanding that God is the Creator of all things, and He created man, humans, in His image, in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, He created them, and He said, this is good. Man that I've created, this is good. But there came a problem. Something happened. And we saw in Genesis chapter 3 the fall. Intentional disobedience of what God had commanded the man and the woman. Intentional disobedience happened. They disobeyed God's command, and because of it, sin came into the world. Sin like a disease, and then death because of sin came into the world, and it spread throughout the whole world. We saw, number 3, the extent of sin. I want to give you a new scripture today as I was studying this week, Genesis 9, 21. We read from Genesis 6, 5, and 6 the last time, but here's what God says after the deluge, after the flood, where He has wiped the earth clean, and He's beginning again with Noah and his three sons. He's going to repopulate the earth with Noah, who's a godly man, and his children. At the end of chapter 9, He says this, God speaking, never again will I curse the earth, and the implication is through deluge, never again will I curse the earth because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. Well, I just think that people are basically good, Pastor. I just, you know, I'm a pretty good person. And I just think people are good. Well, you know what? You better take that up with the Lord because these are His words. He says, I won't deluge the earth again because of man, even though man is evil, every inclination of his heart is evil, even from childhood. These two little baby twins here are beautiful, precious little children, but there's going to come a time when their sinful nature is going to rise up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, precious little things. And, you know, smiling at me, looking at me, saying, "Pastor, you're crazy." But the time is coming. You all have had children. You all know the sinful nature of a child rises up. Why? Because their heart is fallen because of the curse of sin. Number four, we see that though there's a problem, the extent of sin has come into the whole earth. Romans chapter 6, sin has come into the whole earth and death because of sin and is spread like a disease. Number four, God has a plan. God has a plan. It's a plan of redemption. And how He begins is what we just read in Genesis 12. He's going to form a special people. He calls Abram. And He changes his name to Abraham, meaning father of many nations. He forms a special people. And the whole rest of Genesis, chapter 12, all the way to the end, is the story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He renames Jacob who? Say it again. Jacob becomes Israel. Jacob meaning supplanter. Right? Remember, he came out holding on to his brother's heel. Even though Esau was the firstborn, he was born holding on to his brother's heel. And so they named him Jacob, supplanter. The one who's trying to take things away. And his whole life was like that. And God changes his name from supplanter to Israel. Meaning what? No. Israel means Prince of God. He does wrestle with God, for sure, but the word Israel means the Prince of God. So He turns him from a supplanter into a Prince of God. Now, he has to do it in some pretty rough ways. He does wrestle with him, and he touches his hip and puts it out of joint. Oh, God would never do anything to hurt anyone. God would never do anything to make things unpleasant. Ask Jacob about that. Ask Israel about that. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life. But he knew God had a purpose in it. He knew God had a purpose in it. And he begins to form a special people, Genesis 12 through 15, and we just read what's called the Abrahamic, or the Abraham covenant. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. And we heard the words of the Lord speaking to Abraham. He says, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." Isn't that incredible? Now, Abram, at that time, is how old? Anybody remember? 75 or 80 or so, about 75. And his wife, guess what? His wife was older than him. And I bet you they were looking at themselves. You're probably right, Mike. She's not older than him yet. 65. He's probably looking at her. She's probably looking at him, and they're saying, "What?" But God brings it about. He begins to form a special people. And you know the story. We looked at it last week in detail. Because of a famine in the land, the descendants of Abraham end up down where? In Egypt. And at first they're blessed, but a new Pharaoh comes in and he forgets, he doesn't know who Joseph is, descendant of Abraham. He doesn't know the people of Israel, and he says, "These people are becoming too numerous. They're going to overtake us." And they enslave them and put them into hard manual labor. And so God hears the cries of His people, and He sends a great deliverer. The great deliverer, whose name is? Moses, Moshe. And we read in the first few chapters of Exodus that Moses is sent to deliver the people of Israel. We looked last week at the miracles and the deliverance and coming all the way through to the Exodus, what's called the Exodus. They come through the Exodus and the armies of Pharaoh are destroyed. And then we come to Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. They come to the Mount Sinai. It's way out in the desert. And God has something to say to the people of Israel at that time. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, and Eileen Rich is going to read that for us.
Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites."
You will be at my treasured possession. You will belong to me. Thank you for that song, Kelly. I belong to him. I am his. I'm his treasured possession. Because of the covenant of grace in Christ, I belong to him. So God begins what's called the Sinai or the Mosaic Covenant. The covenant that he says to the people. Would you go back to the first verse there, verse 5, Jim, for me? What we're going to see is, in verse 5, is that God tells them something. If we can bring that up. It's not responding. Don't you love it? Technology is great when it works. Verse 5, go back to the first verse. Thank you. Okay, so God speaks to Moses and he's going to ask him to say this to the people. "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." You notice he doesn't just say that, I defeated the armies of Pharaoh. You know, I dealt with Pharaoh and he allowed you to leave. He doesn't just say that. He says, "I brought you to myself." You see the relationship there? It's always about relationship. God has a desire for us to have a relationship with him, and that's all his workings leads to that. But his relationship is always in covenant. What is covenant? What is a covenant? Contract? What kind of a contract? Binding. The Lord is saying to them, "I rescued you. I brought you out of Egypt. I did what you could not do. I did what you could not do in your own power. I brought you out of Egypt. I rescued you. I carried you on eagle's wings." Isn't that a beautiful picture? A lot of songs have been written with that motif in mind. And he says, "I brought you to myself. I rescued you. I did what you and I could not do. In your own power, you could not have done this. In your own strength, you could not. You would have been destroyed, but I rescued you." I hope that you see yourself in that. You see, the Lord rescues us out of our sin. He gives us deliverance when we cannot. I hope that you have a right understanding of yourself, and I hope you have a relationship with the Lord where you understand God has rescued us. He has brought us through deliverance, through Christ. He's done what we cannot do. Ever thought about that? I cannot save myself. I cannot earn or deserve grace. I can't forgive my own sins. I can't deal with my own guilt. Ah, but God did through Christ. All of our sins, our iniquities were on him, were laid. He paid the ransom for all of us. I hope that you've come to a point of understanding of yourself, that you have a relationship with the Lord, that you have cried out to the Lord for his mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ and began that relationship with him, that covenant relationship through Christ. Well, he says to them, if you go to the next verse there, please. Now, here's the covenant. You have to do what? Not just obey, but what? Fully obey. We talked about that in class this morning, too. Yeah, we usually do about, 50, 60, 70% of obedience. Oh, God, God, you're going to we'll let that little part go over here. We won't deal with that. Well, Lord, I'm doing most of what you ask. Isn't that good enough? If you want to be in covenant with the Lord, at this point, he asks you to obey him fully. Through Christ, it is the result. It is the fruit of your relationship with Christ, his saving relationship, whereby you receive the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit, who enables you to obey him fully. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And so really, it's the same thing, but the outcome came through the grace of Christ. But he says to them, if you obey me fully, keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests. Stop right there. A kingdom of priests. In that day, priests did what for the people? They represented God to the people. God used people who were set apart to represent God to the people, to speak to the people. And oftentimes they would speak to God back. Later on it becomes more solidified in the prophet. But the priest represented God, and he enabled them typically through a process of worship, some kind of a ritual or sacrifice to worship. Now, he's saying, I'm going to make you to be a kingdom of priests. What does he mean? He means that you are going to represent God to people on the earth. Because people on the earth and say, I wonder what God is like. I've never seen him. I've never met him. I understand from creation all around us that there is a creator God who created all this thing. By the way, for thousands and thousands of human history, years of human history, that's what people thought, that there is a creator God. It's only been since the 20th century that atheism has come in, that someone would say, well, you know, through the wonderful theory of evolution that, you know, there's no God, that all this happened by chance. The complexity and intricacy of life and creation around us, it just all happened by chance. People look around and they say, yes, there is order, there's complexity, there's design. Romans chapter 1, we saw that it says the attributes of God, his invisible power, his divine nature is seen in what has been created. So people from centuries past look all around and they say, I wonder what God is like. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. He's never spoken to me. And so these people that God has called to be his special people, his special possession, are to be a kingdom of priests. These people that God has called are to be representatives of God to them. Well, how does that work? Well, they are to have the image. They are to reflect that image of God. For the image of God, he created them. In the image of God and the likeness of God, he created them, man and woman, he created them. We are to have the image of God. We are to reflect that image in our lives. How are you doing in that? How are you reflecting the image of God in your life? Now, as God said this to the people, he says, you're going to be a kingdom of priests, but there's a second thing he says, and a what? A holy nation. In other words, you are to have the character of God. Later on in the book of Leviticus, he says to them, I am holy, therefore you be holy. I, the Lord your God, am holy, therefore you be holy. In other words, be like me. Have the character of God. God is holy, therefore you are to be holy. You are to, if people look at you, they're to say, wow, that's what God is like. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar to us? You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 is the same principle under the new covenant as it was under the old covenant. Paul Walker is going to read that passage of Scripture for us.
We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God.
Do you see that? The same calling that God is going to put upon the people of Israel, saying to them, be a kingdom of priests, represent me to the earth. It's the same calling that we have through the covenant of Christ. Christ says, be my ambassadors. Be my representatives on earth. In other words, display the glory, the honor, the holiness of God, the grace of God, the grace of Christ. Display that, represent that to people. How are we doing in that? We know the history of the Israelites. If you watch for very long, read for very long, you know that they failed miserably. But through the new covenant of grace, God has given us the gift of His indwelling Spirit who empowers us to live a holy life. You and I are called to live a holy life and to represent Him to people. He goes as far as to say it is as though God were making His appeal through us. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have this thought that, you know, there are certain people you're like, that's a particular person, they're just so far away from God. They're just so far away from Him. I don't know how they could ever, you know, come to Christ, come to faith. Aren't we silly? Because weren't we right there? Weren't we just like them? Wasn't there a time that we were far away from God? And yet, someone had the boldness and the courage to talk to us about Christ. Maybe it was your mama, or your daddy, or a grandmama, or a friend, or a teacher, a Sunday school teacher. Brenda will tell you story that, you know, she was not raised in the church. She did not know the Lord. Her family did not know the Lord. And when she was 12 years old, a Sunday school teacher came to visit one of her neighbor children. And she said to Brenda, why don't you come to Sunday school too and learn about God? And so Brenda started going to Sunday school. Her parents didn't go with her. They didn't get saved till 30 years later. But because that Sunday school teacher was bold and said, why don't you come to Sunday school? Brenda got saved at a young age. How are we doing that? God is making His appeal through us, just like He wanted the Israelites to be this blessing on the earth, so that all peoples on the earth would be blessed. Wow. How are we doing with that? You see, they are to reflect the image of God. They are to have His heart. They are to have His character. So when people of the world around us, they look at you and me. Do they see God in us? Are we reflecting the image of God? Empowered by the Spirit? Yes. Empowered through the covenant of grace? Yes. But are you seeing it? See, we have to be intentional about it. One of the things as you study the Israelites is they were not intentional. As things come up, they said, oh! You know, this Moses fellow, when he goes up to get the commands of God, he's gone for 40 days. And it used to be, oh, Moses, the great deliverer, God, thank you for sending him. Now, he's gone for 40 days, and they say, we don't know what happened to this fellow, Moses. We don't know what happened to that guy. He moves from Moses, the great deliverer, to that guy. We don't know what happened to that guy, so, hey, Aaron, make us a God that we can worship. And they collected gold. They fashioned it, Aaron and his crafts, the craftsmen under Aaron's direction, they fashioned this golden calf. And they, you know what they say? This is the God that delivered us out of Egypt. What? But don't we do the same thing? Don't we often do the same thing? You know, God blesses us. You know, things are going wonderful, you know, and we step back and say, man, haven't I done a great job here? Look what all I've done. Look what I've built. Aren't I wonderful? I've really done a great job. Aren't you worshiping an idol just like they did? Oh, maybe you didn't make a calf out of gold, but you're putting yourself on the podium. You're putting yourself and elevating yourself above God. But there's one requirement that they have to do. Can we go back to that scripture, Jim, Exodus 19, verse 5? There's a requirement that God gives to them. I'm sorry, it must be verse 6. No, it was, there it is. If you obey me fully and keep my covenant. You see, the requirement for them was to obey him fully, keep his covenant. And of course, they could not do that. And that's why God sends Christ, who fulfills the covenant for us, and he obeys the Father perfectly, and we receive his righteousness. The requirement is obedience. So, you can be saved by works. All you have to do is be perfect. Any takers? Me neither. Well, let's look at how the people respond. Can we, I probably throw in the curveball at you here, Mr. Jim. Can you pull up verse 8? The same passage, God gives, lays out the covenant, the Mosaic covenant. And you got to remember, this is on the heels of deliverance. I'm sorry, it's in Exodus 19. God says to them, you got to obey me fully. You got to keep my covenant. And then you will be my treasured possession. And the people all responded, we will do everything the Lord has said. And so Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. You know what? I believe they meant it. I believe in their heart they were touched of what God had delivered them. We were grateful. They're thankful. And I believe in their heart they meant this. The problem is they did not have the ability, the strength, the power to carry it out. They could not. You see, but our hearts have to be the same, and it's only through the grace of Christ that we can say, Lord, I want to do everything that you ask of me. I want to obey you fully, Lord. I want to glorify you in my life. I want to represent you to people on the earth. I want to be that representative that you called me to be, that ambassador for Christ. Lord, I want to obey you. And you know what? Through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, we can obey him. Now, we're not going to be perfect, but we can. Our hearts can be towards him. And then, of course, we have the ongoing provision of forgiveness and grace so that when we do sin, we can say, Lord, I've failed, I've sinned, please forgive me. Every day. The psalmist says, every day, your gratefulness or your faithfulness is new to me, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. They are new every morning. Great are your mercies. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Isn't that awesome? Every day, we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I really failed yesterday. I blew up. I blew it. But Lord, today I want to live in the newness and the freshness of grace. Amen? Isn't that what you want? So do we have a heart like this? Say, Lord, I know I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own strength, but I want to obey you in everything that you say. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, then obey my commands. And what was his first and greatest command? You shall say it with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hinge all the commands. Do you see it? We are just like the covenant people of Israel. See, God has began a plan, and he's bringing it through. He's brought it through the covenant of grace through Christ, and he's fulfilling it even now in you and me, but there are many people that still don't know. There's many people that still don't understand God. They don't understand the covenant of grace. There's, you know, and it's sad to say there's many churches that have propagated a gospel of works. You know, you can just work your way to heaven. And we know that's a false gospel. And so, God's plan is that through Jesus Christ in the new covenant, that we too would be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. We're going to end with 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. We've looked at this once already, but we're going to read it again. Judy Vilwalk's going to read that for us.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Scripture. And here's the thing. You know, with the Israelites, I mean, you have to be born an Israelite. And of course, they came to the point where they were just obsessed with heritage. You know, and if you weren't of the lineage of the Jewish people, then, you know, you're just not one of us. Even though they went back and, if you go back in their lineage, you had, you know, people like Rahab the harlot, right? And she was the great grandmother of Jesus. They forget about that. See, they're focused on human pedigree, and that has nothing to do with the grace of God and the covenant of God. He says, you were once not a people of God, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, you come to God through the mercy of grace, out of the calling, because you were once not a people, and now God, through the grace of Christ, has made you His people. And now He says that you may declare the praises of Him who calls you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's why we sang that song this morning. Into marvelous light I'm coming. Amen? He's called us out of darkness that we can declare His praises. We're a people. We're a people of God. We represent Him to the earth. You see, God's plan hasn't changed. He called a people, a special people, to represent Him on the earth to people who don't believe, to people that don't know. He's called them, the Israelites. Guess what? He fulfilled the covenant of grace in Christ for Jesus, who was an Israelite, he was a Jewish man, and now Jesus is that rightful king of the whole earth, and He's called you and me to a purpose. How are you doing in that? Listen, I know life can be frazzling. All week long, there's just so much going on, and, you know, crazy stuff is going on in our lives. And it's easy to lose sight, isn't it? It's easy to lose sight of why we're here and what we're to be about. What a perfect opportunity it was for Jan to bring a reminder about Operation Christmas Child, because that's a simple and effective way to represent God to children all over the world that you're never going to get an opportunity to meet them. You're never going to get an opportunity to be face to face with them, but through a simple gift, you are enabling all kinds of Christian people to interact with them, and then for them to receive the love of Christ, and then to grow and be discipled. That's a beautiful thing. What a perfect timing. Well, let's bring it back to where we live right here. As I close, let's bring it back to our lives here. How are we doing? How am I doing? You know, I'm the preacher, and so it's easy for me to go into my office and close the door and, you know, study the scriptures all week long and, you know, sit and sing Kumbaya, you know. I'm just making sure you're awake. How are we doing in that? How am I doing in that? Are we being intentional about representing people? Because let's just be honest, we've received grace. We've received mercy. We've received deliverance. Can you say amen to that? You can get excited Tom Henry was talking about earlier, you know? Your team went, you know, the Orioles, they're winning. We all act like idiots. The Orioles are winning. Or the Ravens are winning. Oh, the Ravens. Oh, the Purple Monster. You know, let's get excited about God and what He's done through Jesus Christ for us. Let's get excited about our salvation and let's share it with people all around us. Let's reflect it in our lives. Maybe we have a holy character, a holy calling. You see, Peter says the same thing. Because He is holy, you also are to be holy. And I'm calling people through you to come to faith in Christ. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, God, this just blows my mind that You would use one such as me to bring Your grace to someone else. Let's commit our heart to that. Amen? Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for the high and holy calling we have to represent You on the earth, Lord, to be Your ambassadors. We are ambassadors of Christ. You are speaking through us, Lord. Whether we are aware of it or not, You are speaking through us. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not so good. So, Lord, let us be sober-minded. Let us consider our lives. Let us consider our words. Let us consider our actions and our attitudes, that we would represent You properly on this earth So, Lord, we thank you. We give ourselves to you fresh and new, Lord. We thank you for the covenant of grace that is ours in Christ. We love you, Lord. We thank you that we are your treasured possession. And we cry out, Abba, Father. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, Lord, has not made that commitment to follow you in their lives, has not received your grace, Lord, let today be that day. Let them make that decision as you call their heart to you. I pray your blessing over these people. I ask, Lord, that you would walk with us through this week as we represent you to this lost and dying world. We pray it in Christ's name. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. First time, folks, I'd love to meet you in the lobby. Have a blessed rest of this day.